It's here and now, and look at that. We have magically taken a field trip outside of the studio all the way to southern Maine. Why? Because that's where Kathy Gunst lives. Kathy, it's great to be here with you on your turf.
I'm so happy to have you here. Welcome to Maine, where the sun's always shining, except for 11 months of the year.
And it's always warm like this, I'm sure, as well.
And the people are happy, and the bugs are happy, and the garden is happy.
And the lobsters are happy, too, or maybe not maybe so. Not. But let's talk about the garden that you mentioned here. I'm looking at your beautiful garden over there. Let's take a look.
Okay, come on over. I'll give you a tour. So we have had this garden for close to 30 years. That's about how long we've lived in this house. And we have what I like to call magic soil. I am not that good a gardener, but man, everything takes off.
Everything grows. And how important is soil as you garden?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, if you don't have soil that's got compost or manure and you don't feed it every year, you won't get great vegetables because it loses its oomph, I like to call it, but there is a more technical term to it. We often plant winter crops, which will keep the soil weed-free, and it's been really terrific this year. So, okay, first.
By the way, I feel like I'm in some sort of a Disney movie. There's like a chipmunk jumping around over there. There are butterflies.
You wanted nature. Here you are. Yeah, we cued the chipmunk. Maybe we'll get a bird chirping for you here. But over here, I have a whole bunch of herbs growing in between flowers. I like to mix it up. I've got Swiss chard just starting there, and fennel, and lemon verbena, and opal basil, dill that I'll use for pickling later in the season, and Egyptian onion. So everything's kind of a mushmash. It's not a weed-free, symmetrical classic garden. Does that shock you?
You mean that there are weeds that are growing amidst all of your beautiful vegetables?
No, you're supposed to say, I don't see any weeds. It looks perfect.
I thought that that was some great thing, that something to be proud of, that you have weeds in your garden.
Sure, I'm proud. So anyway, over here, I've got my garlic growing. This is what I planted last fall, and it winters over. And then next to the garlic, we have fava beans, which I adore. They're not quite ready yet, but you see them here. They're the tall green plant, and they have this beautiful purple and white flower that forms before the fava bean comes.
Tell me about these Egyptian onions. What are those?
These are so cool. Someone actually gave us this plant for our wedding, which is over 30 years ago. See, they have a scallion, shallot-like bulb on top, and it gets very heavy, and it droops over and replants. So they're everywhere. We had one plant. Look behind you. They just keep multiplying. They're the weed of the onion family, but I cook with them, so I love them.
That's what you meant by weeds.
Yes, that's it.
It's the Egyptian onion.
Thank you. Good, good, good. We've got all kinds of lettuce and mescaline mix, carrots, scallions, onions, green beans coming up. All of this back here are potatoes. They will be ready very soon.
How much work do you have to put into this, though, to get the fruits of your labor?
It is such hard work. I mean, keeping a garden together is hours and hours, and it's, you know, you got to have a strong back.
But it's worth it to you.
Oh, so much. For me to come out in the morning and pick raspberries off my vine and pull together a lettuce for my lunch and know exactly what was in the soil, that it's completely organic, that no one has sprayed it. The food just tastes so good.
What's the most frustrating one of these plants that you just give it all the love you possibly can and it just doesn't do what you want it to do?
Well, I've had a lot of trouble with the fava beans, but I just keep doing it. John says, my husband says that whole row of fava beans will get 12 fava beans out of it. But yet I still do it. We've had trouble with tomato blight, as have many people in New England, but I would never stop growing tomatoes.
Tomato blight, meaning that some of the tomatoes haven't paid their mortgages and have had to leave the neighborhood and there have been foreclosures.
You're so political. Don't politicize my tomatoes. Actually, Jeremy, what it means is you can see towards the bottom of a few of the plants, they're dried up and kind of crumpled. And so what's happening is that there's a blight that's killing some of the leaves. The hope is that the tomatoes will ripen before the blight gets really serious.
Well, you've got a basket with you, Kathy, and let's pick some stuff.
This is something I've been waiting for, putting you to work. You sit there and you're the big host. Oh, right. Now you're going to get down and dirty.
Now I have to do some
work. All right, I'm going to give you the basket. There's some cherry tomatoes that are red, and there are a few gold ones over there. If you'd pick those. Why don't you pick a little basil, too? We'll throw that in.
Okay, so shall I just snip it right off like that?
Yeah, or just take the leaf. Yeah, you don't want to
just pull the leaf off.
Don't kill the whole plant, okay? Okay.
See, I knew this was a bad idea.
You have a day job.
All right, there we go. Some basil.
Throw that in the basket. Let's go over to the peas. These are the snap peas.
Snap peas.
And I use these here. Just taste these peas. I keep the shells to make a pea stock.
Mm.
Isn't that great?
Oh, they're so great.
Okay, that's the answer to why do you garden? Because you can come out here and just put this into your mouth and it tastes better than anything.
Oh, that's delicious.
Yeah, these are
They're so sweet.
Exactly. They are so sweet. So we got a few peas. Now, this is not as easy. I have a wild, rambling raspberry patch, and I thought we could have some for dessert. So let's go over and pick some raspberries.
I love the idea of being able to pick fruit and not wash it before you eat it.
I know, right? Every morning I get up, I have my coffee, and I come out here and pick raspberries, and that's my breakfast.
And you've made me a raspberry pie, right?
No, I made you a plum pie.
Oh, I'll take that. Okay.
I was in upstate New York this weekend, and we don't get plums this far north, but there were these beautiful sugar plums and two or three different varieties. So I made you a tart. Hey, I don't get you up to Maine that often. I want you to come back.
I will be back after this.
All right, let's pick.
Okay, well, now we have come inside with our basket and with a few things that we didn't pick on this particular journey, but Kathy, a big basket full of beautiful vegetables from your garden.
I know. Doesn't this look like a still life? Lots of tomatoes from the garden and some big red onions. And then I have about four different types of peppers here from my friend's farm down the street. What I'm going to make for you today is gazpacho, the Spanish dish, which is a cold summer soup. And to me, nothing says summer like gazpacho. It's like a salad in a bowl. I add some fresh basil, some garlic, put it in the food processor. I also add a little bit of bread. And as you can hear, this is two-day-old bread. That's exactly what you want. It thickens the gazpacho. It gives it a body. If it was fresh, it would just drink up the tomato juice and it wouldn't do its job.
You want it to be a little bit stale.
Exactly, but not moldy. So I'll start chopping. Maybe you'll help me. We'll throw it in the food processor and we will have a summer lunch. So I'm going to add my peppers, my tomatoes, my garlic, my onions, my scallions. I'm adding everything to a big bowl. Equal amounts of olive oil and white wine vinegar. Now, it may seem odd to be adding vinegar to a soup, but acidity is a very great balancer, particularly when you have acidic tomatoes and all these sweet, crunchy vegetables. I'm going to toss that up. Give it a whirl.
Just throw it in the Cuisinart.
That's it. Everything's been tossed together like a big salad, and we're going to pulse it so we can control how thick or how finely ground it is. And then we're going to taste for balance: salt, pepper, oil, vinegar. Done.
That's it. It's that easy.
Let me just give it a taste for perfect. If I do taste
no that. Changes necessary.
Seriously, the salt is good. The pepper's good. You could add some of the cayenne if you wanted it spicy. I know that's something that you enjoy. But let me show you how I present it. So then I take all the elements that I've added to the gazpacho. I chop some tomatoes, some basil, some onions, some scallions, and I garnish it. And it's fun to let everybody add their own. I actually find that if you eat this in the middle of the day, it energizes you.
Hmm.
So it's a salad as a soup.
Let's try it.
All right. I'll get you a spoon. Here you go.
Oh, that is so fresh.
So, you know, hopefully you're tasting the garden and you're tasting summer at my house right there in that bowl.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm going to have another bite. Mmm.
Nice chew there.
Delicious, Kathy.
Yeah, isn't that nice?
Well, we will have the recipes for this at our website, hereandnow.org. Kathy, I don't know how we're going to top this next time, but we'll try.
You just have to come back every season.